In the last lesson, what we looked at was actually diversity in settlement, and we reached the conclusion, I think, that settlement is quite diverse. Not an astonishing conclusion. It can range from something that is very small, that's one person in a structure, up to something that is very big, and that's 37 million people in lots of structures that are all congregated together, or Tokyo as we call it, or indeed Edo as it was once known. So how do we begin to identify what these different variations of settlement actually are? What are the labels we use? Because you can't go around and say, oh yes, I went to Hong Kong, which was a really big settlement, and someone else go, yes, I went to Shenzhen, which was also a big settlement, and somebody else saying, well, I went to a little settlement that was called, it doesn't make sense. We have labels that we use to try and instantly understand the nature of the places that we visit. Now those labels, very simply, they are isolated. So this would be an isolated dwelling, a hamlet, village, town, and there are small towns and there are large towns, city and megacity. And the reason we have these labels is not just because we have different sizes of settlement, although of course that is important. It is because the functions of those settlements vary. So the labels may change because, for example, a settlement has more buildings than another settlement. It might be because it does indeed have more population than another settlement. It might be because it has a broader range of services, or indeed services, because some settlements don't have services. So those services might be shops, for example, or hospitals, these sorts of things. And some settlements, such as Hong Kong, might have districts, may take the settlement and subdivide it into smaller and smaller parts. And each of those small parts is called a district. Now, I'm just very briefly going to go down and explain what each of these would look like in reality. But I'm just going to explain what these might look like actually in a landscape. So let us start with the smallest of the small, one building, one person, or maybe more than one person, but one building generally. These are normally a farm. And so why is it isolated? Well, because a farm normally sits in the middle of farmland. And it will be a single building in which a family will live. And yes, there may be some outbuildings, but no one lives there. Animals might live there. They might be used for storage. But in essence, you just have a single building, residential building, building which has people in it, with no other buildings, no other residential buildings nearby. This is the difference between an isolated dwelling and a hamlet. A hamlet does have a number of houses, maybe not that close to each other, you know, maybe a few hundreds of meters apart, but still there are a small number of houses in the same general area. Now, like farms, hamlets are normally found only in rural locations. That means away from towns, away from cities. And they're often small. I mean, they might have a population of 100 people, they might have less, they might have more, but the populations are small. However, the populations are more than just one family, which for an isolated dwelling is not true. Now, the next one that we would look at is village. A village is again like a hamlet in that it's often small, sometimes large, but often small, and often has lots and lots of residential houses. But how it is different to a hamlet is that it has, firstly, services. Services such as the services you're used to, shops, churches, not saying that you're used to churches, but you've probably seen them, maybe a park, maybe a doctor's surgery, maybe a dentist. These sorts of things you start to see in a village, particularly shops. And also, separating it from hamlet, you might find a village on the edge of an urban settlement, like a town or a city. They're not always, or well, they are usually, but they're not always rural. Now, this brings us to a town. What's the difference between a large village and a town then? They've both got lots of residential houses, which is true. But a town has a population of between 50 and 200,000 people. A village will never come close to that. And it will have services that a village cannot support, such as a railway station, big government services such as police, hospitals, these sorts of things, or very niche services such as fitness centres or shopping malls. Things that you need a lot of people to justify building. And towns are generally urban. I mean, you don't get rural towns generally. They are, by their very nature, in built up interconnected areas. Now, cities, it's often hard to distinguish between a city and a town. But one of the keys, in fact, two of the key things that differentiates a town from a city are districts and internal travel. Now, you think about Hong Kong and you think about where you live. What you live in is a district. And that district, you know, in Hong Kong, we have districts like New Territories, like this, or Eastern, Southern, Western, Central, Kowloon. These are all districts. You don't get these in towns. You get these in cities only. Because cities are so large, they have to be broken down into separate areas to administrate. This is not true of towns. And also often, you will find that cities have their own transport. So in London, we have the Tube or the Underground. In Hong Kong, we have the MTR. They only service cities. They don't go outside the city. In Shanghai, there's an Underground as well. In Athens, there is too. So cities have these Underground generally, but certainly some form of communication, or not communication, of transportation that runs around the city or internally in the city. And they also have things, not just the services you would expect in a town, although it has those plus many more. It has something that is internationally important, like a world-leading museum or a landmark. Think Eiffel Tower of Paris, think Big Ben, London, think Tate Gallery, London. Think, well, New York probably has some things as well, but think world-leading things that you associate with a city. And that's not something you'll ever see of a town. I mean, there's no town out there that has an internationally famous monument like the Eiffel Tower, for example, although some have tried. So there are a number of key things that a city has that a town has that doesn't have. However, at a certain point, even a city ends, and there is actually a layer above a city, which we call a megacity. Now, where a city may well go up to 10 million residents, the core of Tokyo goes up to 10 million residents. Once it reaches that point and it starts to incorporate these settlements from outside into that same city, then it becomes something called a megacity. And we looked at Tokyo, and we looked at the fact that Tokyo had 37 million residents, I think it's 37.8, something like that. The scale of it means it's something new. Whereas a city may end at 10 million, a megacity currently is ending at 40. It's just the level of population that differentiates a city from a megacity. So you have all of these definitions.